Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good night, listeners. And here I come to you on Thursday night instead of Wednesday night. But God saw fit, and we can be together tonight. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus, for allowing us this opportunity. As always, I have to say thank you to God for his mercy and his grace. Thank God for allowing us to be together here tonight, to fellowship with one another, to explore the word of God and the things of God, that we may grow in grace. You know, there's no accident that you're on the line tonight, and it's no accident that you're calling. You know, God has a word for his people, and God could use anything he wants to get his point across. So if we open up our hearts and our minds and we listen at the word of God, take me out of the way, because this is not about me. It's all about you and God. You know, I have to thank God for this opportunity, because this is a way that the people of God can hear a word of God. When we come together on Wednesday night, and of course tonight is Thursday, we are fellowshipping as brothers and sisters in Christ, coming together to eat the word, to explore the word and get meaning. And as always, I've always told you that I can only give you information, but it is the Holy Ghost that gives you revelation and illumination. But for the Holy Ghost to give you something from whatever word you have gotten from any place, you have to have something in you for him to work with it, to illuminate it, and to revelate it. And again, I say thank God for this opportunity. And second, I would like to thank each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule to come here week after week after week, so we can explore the word and fellowship with one another. Yes, I, Diane Adams, is the host, but this is our Bible study. Each and every one of you have a specific part to play in it, if you realize it or not. This is a time when we come together in the word of God and the things of God. And as always, you know, it is just a delight for me to be before God's people, and for you to call back week after week. And again, I say thank you. And as always, if you're on the radio station and you would like to make a comment, a concern, say a prayer, or ask for prayer for someone, you press the one button on your phone. And usually at this time, I go into a song, and once the song come back, we go into the scripture. Well, 2 weeks ago, well, before the Easter session, one of the callers asked about prayer. And I told her once we did the death, burial, and resurrection, why did Jesus have to die, and then why did he have to rise, that I would do the lesson on prayer, and that's what we're going to do tonight. For those who have your Bibles, we're going to use Matthew 6:5-13. Matthew 6:5-13 is going to be the scriptures. And the topic for the lesson is how and why we should pray. So what I'm going to do, and I have a caller that has pressed the button, and it may be by error, and the light came on so fast, so I'm going to just give this caller opportunity, because they may want to say something right now, and if it's an error, you, the caller, you don't have to answer, but the caller's number is 225, and then it's a 717, and it's a 07. If you would like to speak, because the one button is press, and like I say, it could have been done in error. I will let you talk now if you would like to. Caller whose number is 225-717-07. And then there's, of course, two other numbers. I don't want to call your number out on the air, but if you would like to speak, you can do it now. But if you do not want to speak, it's okay, and I'll close the mic.
It was error.
Thank you, caller. So we have this right now. I'm going to play this record and listen to the message in the record, because I think it is so appropriate for the lesson that's going to go through tonight with prayer. So I'm going to play this record, and when we come back, we're going to go into lessons. And thank you, because we switched tonight, and I just want y'all to know the studio is lit up just like on Wednesday. God's going to have his way in this place tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Tamara Main. And the words that she was saying is, God can do it. You know, we have to learn to step aside. And with us going into the lesson tonight about prayer is something that we do to God, but we have to trust that what we pray about, he's going to fix it. But he's going to fix it in his way, not your way. God's will and his purpose is going to be accomplished. We can't take that away from God. But God is all-knowing and all-loving and all-kind and all-faithful, and he loves you because we are his children. So tonight we're going to go into the lesson, and for those who just came into the studio, we're going in Matthew's, the 6th chapter, the 15th through the 13th verse, and I pray that you have your Bibles. You know, I'm looking at the studio wall, and even though we didn't come on the air on last night, which was Wednesday, it is amazing because right now in the studio we have more callers than called in with the change in plan than coming on Wednesday night. God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and for who he wants. And we're going to go into the lesson tonight. The topic for the lesson is how and why we should pray. And again, it's coming from Matthew's, the 6th chapter, the 5th through the 13th, the 5th through the 13th verse. Okay, tonight's lesson is on prayer. And remember, one of the callers asked for this lesson. And as always, is there any particular lesson, any particular verses, any particular words that you would like discussed on the air? Remember, it is our Bible study, and that's what we will present. So a caller asked for a lesson on prayer, and we're doing that on tonight. I want you to know that prayers are essential in the lives of believers. Prayer is our way of talking and communicating with God. You know, I've been asked this several times by many people. Why pray? What is the point of praying when God knows the future and is in control of everything? You know, they told me he already knows what I need. You know how many people say that if God know everything, he know what I need, why should I pray? He already knows what I want. They say he knows my heart, my thoughts, and my mind. You know, he knows, as people tell people to pray, and they say, you know, well, he know my past, and he even know my future. If he know everything, then why should I pray? If we cannot change the mind of God or his will or his way or his master plan or his design purpose, then why should we pray? And then I've been asked plenty of times, isn't everything preordained? And I told them just like I'm telling you guys tonight. Well, all this is true about God, but yet God still wants to hear from you. God still wants communication and fellowship with his children, just as an earthly father desires the same. You know, when we pray, it's not to make God do what we want, when we want, how we want. But when we pray, we're just letting him know our requests, our wishes, our wants, and our needs. And then in our prayer, we should always put in there, dear God, this is what I'm coming up with. But it's not about my will, dear God, but your will. You got to submit yourself to God with your prayer. You have to trust God enough when you pray however way he work it out. He might not work it out the way you want, because that way might not be the best way for you. And he's going to work it in super superbly surpass whatever you could even imagine. You know, God could do it like that. But you got to say, all right, God, this is it. This is me. I'm letting you know this is God, but not have your way. You see, prayer invites God into all of our situations. And I didn't say some of them. All of our situations. Because there's nothing too big for God. Nothing too hard for God. Nothing too little for God. Some people really believe they're not going to worry God with their prayer because they don't want to seem selfish or they don't want to put nothing on him. There's nothing you can put on God. There's no particular time you could call God. You have a problem at night and you call your friend 3 o'clock in the morning. God is already up and he's already everywhere. God is complete. And he's willing and he's able. You see, we pray for various reasons. For one thing, prayer is a form of serving God and obeying him. Maybe you never thought about it that way. We pray because God commanded us to pray. If you look in your Bibles, in Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 6th through the 7th, see, I'm going to give you scripture because this is not about me. It's what God has said in his word. So that's Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. That's scripture. Be careful for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. So they say everything that we could imagine, everything we need, everything we could think of, everything that's going on, everything. They say be careful for nothing, but in all things. And when the Bible say all, it means each and everything, not some things. And then the 7th verse say, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Okay, so those two scriptures that's in the Bible, Philippians, saying be careful for nothing in all things prayer. And when you be prayer, when you go into prayer, pray for all things and supplication and be thankful, give thanks in your prayer. And then your mind going to be at peace. Because you see, if you trust God and you lay it up on his altar in prayer, and you really trust him and you walk away, you let him have his way. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And if you think about the worst things that ever happened in your life, that too did pass. And it's because of God's grace, and his grace is still sufficient. And then how you think it'll be even more when we pray more and talk to him more and fellowship more and have more communication with him. You see, this verse lets us know that we should pray about everything unto God. And if we want our heart and mind to be at peace, then we should pray. Just imagine if you start trusting God and having enough faith in God and you go to God in prayer, and then you get up from your knees and you thank him and you walk away and say, it is already done. Might not come out like you want it, but it's going to be done. Because God say, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. He said, what good would it hold? What God say in the scriptures, what good would it be for him to withhold anything from you? He got it all. He own it all. He's in heaven and he's God. He said, what good it would do for me to withhold it from me? But come talk to me. Come commune with me. You know, scriptures offers many reasons to pray. We ought to pray for our relationship with God, for forgiveness of our sins. We should learn how to pray for our friends and our families and others, and even those who don't know God. That is our job. You know, we need to pray for the world leaders and pray prayers of thanksgiving. You know, sometimes you could just pray saying thank you, or you could pray praising God. You know, we should pray about and talk to God about our health and our wealth and ask him for directions in all our situations. And we have to ask God for wisdom to use the knowledge that he has given us. And, of course, we have to pray for God's provisions for our daily needs. Remember this, there's nothing under the sun that's too hard for God. There is nothing that he doesn't own and that he don't have power over. So to me, it looks like, you know, we should be going to him quite a lot in prayer. You know, prayer does not only establish a relationship with God, It is vital to maintain our relationship with him. For the Christians, for us who say we believe and we trust God and we walk in by faith and we not in this world, but we in this world, but we not of this world, and we on the Lord's side. For us, all of us who confess this, prayer should be like breathing. You know, you need breath to live, and you need prayer to survive in this life. They're two and the same. You know, prayers was amplified for us by Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ walked the earth for 3 years as a man to give us examples of what we should do. Besides the fact that he came to die and be a sacrifice for our sins, but he walked the earth to give us an example of how we should do. You see, in John, the first chapter in the 31st verse, I'm giving y'all scripture. They say, and rising early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went into a isolated place, talking about Jesus, and there he prayed. Now, this is telling you what Jesus did. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the incarnated God, Jesus, one of the persons in the Trinity, I'm talking about that Jesus. Jesus, who is now sitting at the right hand of his Father, interceding for our behalf. I'm talking about that Jesus. When he was on earth, First John said that Jesus rose up early in the morning and went to a place and he prayed. Hallelujah. And we learned that Jesus prayed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. We had that 2 weeks ago. And he asked God to remove this cup from him. He said, but God, if you don't remove the cup, I'll drink it. He said, and yet, Father, not my will, but thy will. And even with that, we learned that Jesus knew what he had to do, and he knew he was going to be the suffering Christ, and he knew he was going to be nailed to the cross. But you see, Jesus, even though at that point he was man because he had flesh on him, he was also divine because he was God. But yet Jesus took time to have the fellowship with the Father. So what more should we do? He was just letting the Father know in his human state what he was going through and how he was feeling. That's all God wants from us. If Jesus thought it was worthwhile to pray in order to keep in contact and communicate with the Father, what should we do? Remember, Jesus being God, which is divine, and man is human, the man side of Jesus was in need. So Jesus was in need, and he went to the Father. When you have a need, please go to the Father. And if Jesus had to pray to maintain his relationship with God, I think we should pray as well. You know, and I looked at this, and, you know, when I started early, I say prayer is a way to communicate and to talk with God. So I thought about the word communication. And you see, communication is very important because, you know, you could sit back right now and think about some relationships that you have with whoever, could be you, whatever. And if the communication level is poor, you know, it's always a problem because communication is very important. Without proper communication, any relationship will suffer. You see, a lack of communication has destroyed marriages, families, friends, and most of all, our relationship with God. You see, we have to know that our resource that we have for communicating with God is prayer, which is our way of talking to him. And the word of God is his way of talking to us. Communication back and forth. So if I said all of that, now we get to the place where you say, okay, that's good, I'm ready. You know, I understand that, and now I want to do it, but I need to ask you this. How to pray? Well, I'm going to go get the example out the Bible, because remember, you know, anything I say could be my opinion of, you know, whatever, but let us use the word of God. You know, the disciples asked Jesus the same thing, how to pray. And he gave them a model prayer, which is a pattern. This is a model for prayer. Follow me closely. Teaching us the elements that should be included in our personal prayer. It's okay to use the Lord's Prayer when you pray, but it shouldn't be the only words you recite, because then your prayer would never be personal. It wouldn't include the admiration and adorning that you personally use when you call upon God. Because it just says, our Father which is in heaven. You know, some people, when they begin to pray, they say, Holy Father. They say, Gracious Father, Loving Father, Righteous Father, Faithful Father. You know, you have all kind of words you use when you call upon the name of your God. You see? But if you keep only use the Our Father prayer, you would never insert that for yourself. You know, if you just recite the Our Father prayer, your personal needs wouldn't be stated and expressed unto God. You know, this is a good one. The sins that you need forgiven, you wouldn't be expressing them. Those whom you would like to pray for, and the things and the concern that's on your heart wouldn't be included. And again, I'm not saying you should not pray the Our Father prayer. We should use our prayer time to have a talk with Jesus and tell him everything that's concerning you. God wants to hear about you. Your prayer is not my prayer. Your prayer is not Sister Mary prayer. Your prayer shouldn't be the prayer you hear the people on the radio speak. And I've heard this over and over again. I wish I could learn how to pray for them. But you don't even know if their prayer is coming from a good place. You know, you might think their prayer is elegant. But it's not about an elegant prayer. It's about you and God. God made you. He knows your abilities. He's not expecting you to pray like Dr. Martin Luther King. He only expects you to come to him in prayer as you. You have to remember that the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. Remember this, the longest is not always the best prayer. And the steps with the shortest is not always the worst. You got to remember, God knows you completely and want to hear from you, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. He wants you. Prayer is one-on-one fellowship, you and your God. You talking to God and then sitting back and wait for God to talk to you. So Jesus gave him this model prayer. And it started in Matthew's, well, I'm going to go with Matthew's 5, because that's when the questions was asked, and Jesus gave them some teachings on prayer. And you got to remember, Jesus was doing everything that Jesus did, if he used the parable, if he had the Sermon on the Mount, if he issued out the Beatitudes, and when he gave the model, Our Father prayer, he was teaching us. So even though you may have said the Our Father prayer all of your life, if you can't look at the Our Father prayer and say what it means, then just reciting it, we're going to visit it tonight. And the fifth chapter in, the fifth verse in Matthew 6 said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. It says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And then the sixth verse say, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, when that word closet in there, God is not telling you to go to the closet. He used this as an illustration for you to be private somewhere with him. You know, some people pray in their living room. Some people pray wherever, but that's what he's saying. So don't think you got to lock up in a closet. When you pray, God knows your motive. See, it's more about the motive than the attitude that you bring in it. When we pray, we should not do it to be seen. Because if you're doing it for man, then you could only get a man's reward that will be very temporal, and it won't last, because only what you do for Christ will last. When you pray, you should earnestly and sincerely have the desire to have a talk with God about you and what you're going through and your needs and what he has done for you. You know, there's nothing wrong with public praying, so don't take that from the scripture either. But there's a time and a place for it. Jesus prayed publicly and privately. So I don't want to get that confused. Again, Jesus was drawing attention to the motive behind the action. I hope you got that. Jesus had a purpose when he prayed out loud. He knew the audience that was there was going to be listening. And he knew what they needed to learn, and that's what he did. So Jesus was drawing attention to the motive behind the action. Public prayer is all right. Closet prayer, well, private prayer is all right. So, you know, it's all right. It all has a place. You see, most of our praying is between us and God. But there are other types of prayer, and we'll get to that later. And the seventh verse said, but when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for much speaking. When you're praying, you don't have to say all of this and say all of that. The more you say, the better your prayer is, because remember, God's looking at your heart already. So get down there and be sincere with God. They say, but in the eighth verse, say, be not as therefore like unto them. For the Father knows what you have need of before you even ask him. So you don't have to go there faking it till you're making it. You don't have to go promise things you know you can't achieve. You don't have to go to him speaking of yourself more than you ought to. He knows you. He sees your heart. Go to him honestly and purposefully and with pure motive to just speak to him and communicate with him. You see, prayer is not man's attempt to change the designed purpose or the will of God. We can't if we wanted to. You can't get down there and pray and make like you're going to make God do something. You can't trick God into doing anything. You only sharing your petition with him, and he's going to have his way. We're not going to change his will of his purpose, but laying hold to his willingness to help us. He's our helper. He's our strength. And you got to recognize him as that when you're praying. You can understand the prayer you need to pray. Remember, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. You see, Jesus is now our intercessor. When we pray, leave it there. But you got to have total confidence and assurance in God's plan and purpose for your life. You see, you know how many people go lay it, bring it to God, and then they take it back. I want to let you know right now, God does not need your help with the things that he wants to do in and through of us. You see, because anything God asks you to do, he gives you the provisions. Anything that he gives you, it's a gift. All we have to learn to do is submit and obey. And we can't do that. when you go bring it to God, you know, you go to God and you pray and you pray and pray, then you get up off your knees and you're trying to figure out a way to make it happen faster. They say if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you want to continue to worry, then you need not pray. You make the decision. You see, God's ways are not our ways. So don't get it twisted. Don't go and pray and expect God to do it like you are. Let God have his way. Because he's going to work it out for your good if you trust him. Don't be repetitious or use vain words or too much unnecessary talking. When you talk to God, say what you mean. But most of all, mean what you say. Don't just be talking loud and saying nothing. And then the next, if we go to the next verse. Now, after Jesus gave them that example, look, isn't he teaching us how to pray, what to do and what not to do in prayer? Then he turns around in the ninth chapter, and he gives them a model prayer, a model, an example prayer, a model prayer. He gives the elements of a prayer, and that's what the Our Father prayer is, because as we go through it, we'll see it. The ninth verse said, after this manner, therefore ye shall pray. He's saying after what he just taught us, don't be repetitious, don't just be doing it to be seen, have pure motives. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay, what was Jesus teaching there? First of all, when it starts off to say Our Father, he's saying whenever you start prayer, you should give glory and honor unto God in whatever way you decide. And of course you can use Our Father. But you know, there are some other words, some choice words that I'm sure over your life that you have called and thought about and smile about when you think about God. Those words, and yes, you can use Our Father. I'm not saying you can't, but that's what he's telling you. When you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, start your prayer off with giving praise and honor to God. And then he said, hallowed is thy name. Hallowed only means holy. So they're saying, God, your name is holy. And then it said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus has given his disciples the example of how to pray. This is Our Father's prayer, and it is also a model prayer. Jesus gave it to his disciples as a model for them to pray, a model for them to keep in mind when they pray. You must first learn the elements and use them in your own words when you pray. The model gives us the way to pray and the things we should include in our prayer. Jesus provided this pattern to be imitated and duplicated with our prayer. When we pray, this model lets us know that we should praise the Holy God. The verse called him Father. Our prayer might also begin with Lord, Master, Savior, King of Kings, the great I Am, the beginning and the end. You know, you could end your prayer with all of those words. Thy will be done. The will of God is that man should obey his law and be holy. You see, everything in heaven is holy. And God's desire is for us to be as holy as we can on earth. So when we pray into God, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we asking that God grant us, teach us, and lead us, and we are pumped up. Well, not pumped up, but that the Holy Ghost, that we cooperate with the Holy Ghost, that we can turn our lives to be better than we was yesterday and better than we was last year, and that our mind is set on being better of the things of God, which is the things of heaven, that we can also experience and line ourselves up with those things that God expects here on earth. So what are you saying there? What I'm saying is when we be praying, you know, I pray for God to get me to another spiritual level. I pray to God to give me discernment of the spirit when I'm meeting with somebody or talking with somebody that I can know where they're coming from. I'm talking about the things of God, the gifts of God, the things that God has for us. That's the things we should ask for. You know, plenty of people, you know, they say if you want the gift of interpretation, you should ask for it. And if you want the gift of praise, you should ask for it. These are the things that we are asking the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven and in us. In us. You know, when we pray that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, is to pray that his law, his revealed will, may be obeyed in love on earth as it is in heaven. So that should let you know what things you should be asking for in prayer for you to be closer to God, for you to become more and more sanctified daily. Ask him to let you understand the word of God when you read it. Ask the Holy Ghost for illumination and revelation for the words that you heard. See, these are the things for the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's an example and a model for us. So that's what Jesus was showing with the prayer. He put that in it, but that's what he was hoping for them for to get out of it and for them to use. That's what he's talking about. You see, this prayer is letting us know that we should start our prayer by giving glory and honor unto God, realizing that his name is holy. And we began praying, you should give it to him because he's worthy to be praised. And it's expressing who he is to you. See, God wants you to know. You know how plenty of times people say, who do people say I am? You know how sometimes you think of how people perceive you and think of you? God wants to know how you perceive him. Do you think he can do it all? Do you think he's in control? Do you think he has all power in his hand? Do you think he owns everything? He said the hills and the cattle and everything belong to me. Do you think it? How would he know it to you? Talk to him. And then the 11th verse said, give us this day our daily bread. You know, it took me some time, a long time, when it said, give us this day our daily bread. Were the, you know, these was the only words in the Our Father prayer that was asking for anything concerning a physical need. And I say, wow. You see, all of the rest of the prayer is in praise of God or a request for spiritual gifts so that we may better please and serve him. Lord, give me the gift to want to take care of the elderly. Come on now. Give me the gift to want to feed the orphans. You know, come on now. That's what the prayer, the model was saying, but the only aspect was about physical needs was this one. And I thought about it, but I realized, you know, Jesus called himself in the Bible, he said, I am the bread of life. So when they say, give us this day our daily bread, and you remember when Jesus was being tempted by Satan and Satan screwed, you know, switched the scripture up on Jesus and Jesus told Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, that's the daily bread, the word of God. And Jesus is the living word and he is the daily bread. Come on now. God know you need food, and he has provided you food, you know, all of your lives. The Bible, the scriptures say, I've never seen a righteous forsaken of a seed begging bread. So what was Jesus teaching us here? He said that I am the daily bread, and man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. So you need daily bread for your human body, and you need the daily word for your spiritual body. Come on, Jesus is teaching us here, you see. Why do we ask for our physical needs in prayer? that is a non-physical in every other aspect. You know, I realize that Jesus, as I say, is the bread of life. And if you want to see what he said it in John, the 6th chapter, in the 51st verse. Come on now, Jesus is teaching us. The 12th verse. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I just picked the scripture for that. And it was Mark 11, 25 and 26. For those who have their Bible are writing down their verses. Mark 11, 25 and 26. And it says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you. I'm telling you this because this is not an exception. This is the rule. You know, another rule that's in place, you're going to reap what you sow. You know, there's another rule. You can only get what you're willing to give. If you're not willing to forgive somebody, how you think you're going to get on your knees day after day for all of the sins that we commit? Because once while we living in the flesh, with the flesh is going to crave fleshly things. And it might not want this or that today, but it's going to want that and that tomorrow. And I don't know about you or what your flesh do, but I'm telling you what I experienced in my life. The Apostle Paul said, every time I go do good, evil is always present. He said, I have to press for the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Because it's a struggle. That's why we pray. But God said, forgive your brother. God even come telling me, don't ask me to forgive your sin. If you sinned against your brother and your sister, you go ask them forgiveness first. And then you come ask me for forgiveness. See, we want to take all the shortcuts, and we want to do it like we want to do it, and we want to build up who we going to forgive. Forgiveness is forgiveness. Forgiveness don't mean you have to go live in a house with them. Forgiveness don't mean you got to call them on the phone every day. And I'm going to tell you something else why Jesus put that in there, not so much for what you need to do for somebody else, but what you need to do for you. Because you see, half of the people you ain't forgive, they're going on about their life. Half of the things you can't forgive somebody about, they done forgot all about it. And ain't nobody holding on but you. And we want God to forgive us for our sins. That's just a scripture that I let taught that verse. And I'll read it one more time. Because this is so important. And whenever you are standing, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will the Father who is in heaven forgive. And again, I say this is not an exception. It is the rule. And the 13th verse say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, it said, lead us not into temptation. First of all, he's telling you God will not lead you into temptation, but he will make a way for you out of temptation. Because the scripture says God will never allow anything to tempt you that hasn't already tempted a man. There will be no new temptation that would come up. He's saying out of each and every one of them, I will give you a way to escape. See, the people say that they always use this as a scripture. The Lord don't put no more on you than you could bear. If you look in the Bible, that is not there. But what the scripture is saying, any temptation that will come to you, first of all, God will not have a temptation that it has not already happened to you, number one, so you don't have to take it so personal. And every temptation that he will allow to come your way, he's going to give you a way to escape. He will not let you be tempted more than you can bear, because he has already designed an escape for you dealing with temptation. And God say, I don't tempt no man. He say, I'll test you, but I don't tempt, and I can't be tempted by man. So God does not tempt. Excuse, but he tests. Come on now. And he's constantly delivering us from evil. God will never bring us to evil, so you don't have to think. You know, don't go thinking, you know, something happened and you say, God must have was tempting me to see if I was going to do right. God don't even have time to deal with you like that. And God already said he don't tempt no man. Yes, he will test you, and your testing is for your maturity. And so many of us are being tested, and we can't even pass the test because we keep doing the same thing over and over. You'll say, but how you know I didn't pass the test? Because this has happened to you before, and here it is now. You're in the same situation. You didn't learn from the situation. You know, and sometimes, you know, it takes us a little longer to learn. I understand that. You know, and we don't always get it at first, but at some point you should get it. And when you get it, it's for your good. And then that's how you begin to mature. And it said, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever, and some say forever, amen. This is letting us know, go ahead on to God and pray. Thine is thy kingdom, God's, everything belongs to God. The power, God has all power and all glory, and he had it before the foundation of the world, and he's going to have it all the way through eternity. So it's not for God to, for us to pray for God to get with our program. It's for us to pray to get with the program of God. Because the end of this prayer was showing us that thine is the kingdom. He's saying, you know, in my prayer I could say, well, Lord, I know you own it all. I know all glory and honor belongs to you, you know, and I know you have all power in your hand. And you had it before then, and you have it now, and you're going to have it through eternity. So, Lord, that's why I'm bowing down before you. Because you're worthy of all the praise. You know, you got to use your words. Because remember, your prayer is your prayer. And then when you get through saying amen, you're saying you agree. Not agree with what you say, but you agree with what God is going to do. And the other thing we have to remember, whenever we pray, you see, this Our Father prayer, Jesus gave that to the disciples. And Jesus had not yet gone to Calvary. He had not been crucified on the cross. He had not went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had taken on the sins of the world. He had not yet done that. So when he ended that prayer, he said, amen. But you see, after Jesus did these things I just spoke about, and he became our Lord and our Savior and our Master, God the Father in his word say, you cannot come to the Father unless you go through the Son. So my sisters and brothers who's listening, whenever you pray, I don't care how long, how short, how many words, how elegant, how smooth, how hard, how real, you know, for sure, or whatever you're doing. You have to end your prayer in the name of Jesus. God said you cannot get to the Father unless you come through the Son. Because Jesus paid the price. All to him we owe. That's giving our honor to the God-man. You remember the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God as God and God as the Son and God as the Spirit. And each one of them played a part. And each one of them, you give them honor for what they're doing. The Holy Ghost is living in us right now. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and God is on his throne having communion with his Son. So we have to keep these things in mind. And I don't know how I thought I would be able to do it, but I realized that I can't. And I will let you guys make the decision. There are 6 major types of prayer. And, of course, we just have 5 minutes, so it can't go forward. If you would like for to keep this session and go into next week, which will be on Wednesday, not Thursday, we will be back at our regular time and place, we will talk about the 6 essential prayers. But I need to know if that's what you would like for your week lesson next week, and you don't have to choose it, and we could talk about something else if there is something else. But right now, I would like for everybody, if you want to go into the specific types of prayer, how to pray or what to pray about in the specific prayers, I'm asking that you press the 1 button on your phone. And then I'll know that we will go into that for next week. If you press the 1 button on your phone, I'm not going to open your line and I'm not going to ask you a question. If you would like the 6 types of prayers to go for a lesson next week, I would go into that. If not, and maybe that or something else. But we'll pick back up, and I see callers are pressing in for that. But we'll make the decision because it's 6 types of prayer, and it could pick up something else. The things is lighting up. So it appears that would be something to go into because we got this. Before I close tonight, I was letting you know that the model prayer, the Our Father prayer, is what Jesus used to teach. Have you ever sat down, you know, we recite the Our Father prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you think about what you're saying? Did you ever think about what Jesus was trying to teach when he used each verse? Was that ever important to you? Or you just recited it, you know, word for word for word, word of like that. Remember, everything that's in the Bible is for you. It's to teach and exalt you, to help you, to give you something that you can put in you and the Holy Ghost can bring out of you. And when Jesus taught the Our Father prayer, he was giving them a model. If you look it up in a lot of places, they will call it the model prayer. It's a model prayer, but your prayer is personal. And I'm not saying you can't use the Our Father for your prayer, because if that's where you are, that's where you are. And I'm not telling you you have to change, but I'm telling you what Jesus was teaching and why he was teaching it, because prayer is personal. So if you only do the Our Father prayer, well, we all would know then it's not anything personal. But I'm just asking you to keep that in mind. And as we, you know, go on, you know, because our prayer life is serious. And our prayer life is something that we have to cultivate and we have to learn and be mature in it as well. We should know the things of God that we should pray for and why we should pray for them. And I, you know, after saying all of that, you know, I'm going to end the lesson tonight and tell you this. God only wants to hear from you about you. That's prayer. It's personal. It's private. It's between you and your God. And there's other types of prayer that you use for other situations and at other times. And that's some of the stuff we may talk about next week. But that's a lesson on prayer. And that's the Our Father prayer. Because you see, you know, the question was asked, how to pray. And that's what Jesus gave as a model to pray. And that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that, and I was fixing to say one thing. I think I said it. And at the end of that prayer, say it, amen. And when amen, say, I agree, and it is so, and it is done, and it's okay, and I believe. You know, that's all that amen say. You know, plenty of times people say something, they say, let the church say amen. They say, are you going to touch and agree with what's being said? Because the Bible says, if two or more are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst. Amen. And amen. And I pray that, you know, you got something that you could hold to. And remember that for a Christian, prayer should be like breathing. Just like you need breath to live, you need prayer to survive in this life. And it's for you. I ain't tell you how many times you should pray a day because it's personal. I didn't tell you you had to pray a certain hour a day. And, you know, all prayers is not on your knees. Jesus said that you have to meditate on him day and night. The meditation in your mind, it's a form of prayer. When you're just talking to him. I didn't say how many times. I didn't say where you had to do it. Personal. I didn't say, you know, whatever. Just letting you know it's your time with Jesus. It's you and him time. And just like your Heavenly Father that you live with in your house, if you was raised with a father, you know, when he would say, girl, come talk to me. And you would have something going on at your house, and you say, I'm going to call my dad and talk to him. You wasn't calling your daddy that because he could always change things. Some things you was calling him about couldn't be changed if he wanted to. But you just felt better, you know, talking to him about it. And maybe not if you had a father at home, if you had someone you could talk to. You know, sometimes you just want to talk to them because, you know, you want to say it, but you have to find the right person to say it to. You know, and all of this like that. But, you know, just imagine. That's all he's asking for, to bring it to me. Not that you change me, but I just want to know. Communication and talking with God is what prayer is all about. And I pray that everybody, you know, got something that they can use. Remember, the prayer line is 504-289-9501. And we have some callers that had the one button pushed on their phone, and I know they was pushing it to, say about the next lesson. So I'm not going to open the mic. But if there's anybody else who would like to make a comment, if they would like to ask for prayer for someone, if you would like to lead us in prayer, if you would like to give words of encouragement, if you have a testimony, you want to talk about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, you can press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mic. And they got a caller that's 111111111111. I don't know if your button got pressed for the vote, or do you want to say something? I'm going to open your mic. And if you want to say any comment, you can, but you don't have to. 111111. Your mic is open now. If you have any comments, you can say it at this time. All right. Since there are no comments or concerns at this time, I think the other callers was saying they wanted the lesson to go forward. I'm going to just check. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but if you would like to say anything, caller, your number is 504-231. If you would like to say anything, your mic is open.
I just wanted to say tonight's lesson was quite a blessing to me. This is your host, Denise, and I completely enjoyed the whole lesson. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling in. God be with you.
Okay.
Thank you. And I have another line that's open. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. But the number is 62198. Right now, your mic is open if you would like to say anything.
Hi. Good evening. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Monica.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Did the lesson on prayer help any?
Yes, it did. And it also made me think about something I may want to, study on one day. You can talk about. My daughter questioned me about Jesus dying for our sins, and I was trying to explain to her, why or how. And I would like to touch on that one evening. You can, talk about
it,
excuse me, and explain it to her, because she couldn't understand it when I was trying.
Well, we always talking about Jesus, so we will definitely get that in. And I thank you for calling in, and we will touch that. And like I'm saying, it's so good for me, because I tell you guys all the time, I'm the host, but this is not my Bible study. We come together on Wednesday night to learn and explore. You know, some of the things you guys ask for, I might not even know. So I go look it up for you guys, and that make me learn. Because I tell y'all all the time, I do not know everything. I can only give you guys information, but the Holy Ghost got to give you revelation and illumination. And I thank you, and we will definitely touch on that. And I thank you for calling week after week, Monica.
Thank you.
God bless
you. And
you were saying something else, darling? Were you saying something else? Anybody else would like to say anything? You could press the one button, and I'll open the line. And we have a lot of callers. And, you know, I always try to stop at 9:30, and it's 9:37. I don't want you guys to say I hold y'all over. So right now I'm going to do the benediction prayer, and I'm going to just say that God be with you until we meet again. May the grace of God and the sweet community and everything that he has for you in your life be with you until we meet again. And all of these blessings and others, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. And, you know, we are now finished with the Bible study. We do our best to finish in 1 hour, and I have so many callers that just listen to the music. We have done the benediction prayer, and right now I'm going to go ahead and let some music play, and you can stay on the line as long as you want, and as long as you're on the line, I will play the music. But as always, God loves you, and so do I. And until we meet again, God be with you. Amen.
Makes me love all my enemies.
Sometimes you hold your peace so much you wonder how you could do it. But you got to always remember it's because of the Word of God. The Word of God is what strengthens us and allows us and teaches us. And Jesus walking on the earth gave us an example how to live. And because of the Word of God, we learn to hold our peace. You know, the world tells us to be meek is to be weak, but it's just the opposite with God. Because he said meekness is strength under control. And that's one of the hardest things we as people can do. You know, we say we go off because of this, or we go off because of that. And I know the Word of God can hold us if we hold on to it. If we cooperate with the Holy Spirit when we're about to do things, if we could just say 1, 2, 3, that give us time to think, and maybe we can handle situations different. It's the Word of God that lives in us, the Holy Spirit who is constantly prompting you to love and not hate, to give encouragement and not to hurt. But it is hard, and we have to practice, and we have to become mature in the things of God for this to happen. Remember, Bible study stopped at 8:30, was 1 hour. I have people that love music. I come back on if you want to make a comment at this time, even though it's late in the game. If you press the one button on your phone, I will see it. I will stop the music, and I will let you make your comments. But here we go with another song. And again, if you hang up, I'll see you next week. Same time, same station. and that was withholding nothing. And we should try our best to stop withholding things from God. Stop withholding ourselves, our talents, and our finances from God. Everything belongs to God. We are only stewards. And we should remember that. And that is now our Bible study for tonight. I pray that each person was encouraged and that you were edified. Satan was horrified and God will be glorified. And I thank you, Jesus, for all that you allow to happen here tonight. And I pray that your word will not return void. And that's the lesson for tonight. God be with you. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.